I think that hymn fits in really well with our topic tonight from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. We just think about the last two lines of the last stanza. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. And we learned last week about the battle as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Then we learned about the farmer. We learned about the athlete. And today we're going to learn to remember Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer before we turn to the Word of God. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can be here tonight, that we can read your word, that we can sing hymns of praise, and we can pray to you, bringing our requests and praises and thanksgivings. Thank you that you are our Father, that you do hear our prayers, and you do answer them. So we pray that you'd be with us tonight, that we would be encouraged from your word. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just start from verse 1 of chapter 2 and read through verse 10. You, therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. To please the recruiter, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of everyday life. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Keep in mind Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David according to my gospel. For this I suffered to the point of being bound like a criminal, but God's message is not bound. That is why I endure all things for the elect, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. So tonight's challenge is simple. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. And if we look back in the context of this book, Paul is going through a time that's basically the end of his life. He's in prison, and we'll read about it later on in the book. He says that he's being poured out as a drink offering. Timothy is aware of this, and he's aware that something similar could befall him. And the other brothers, it says in chapter 1 that everybody has deserted them, or at least Paul in verse 15. So this is a time of intense persecution. Now, when we say remember, sometimes we think of it only in the context of having forgotten something. And that's not what's meant here. Other translations say, keep in mind or keep in memory. So people remember nice things that happened. They keep bringing it up. They keep it in their mind because those are things that make them feel good, that they want to dwell on. And so that's what this means when he says remember. He means keep it in your mind. Another word we could use is meditate. Keep thinking about Jesus Christ. Paul's goal is to encourage Timothy in the midst of this intense persecution and abandonment and his own imprisonment and impending death. And the only way that he can do that, or the best way that he can do that, is to have him fix his eyes on Jesus Christ, as we read about in Hebrews 12:2. the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so he says, remember or keep in mind Jesus Christ and several aspects of Jesus Christ that he wants him to remember. Look at verse 8. The first is risen from the dead, and the second is descended from David. So these are the two aspects that he's calling him specifically to remember about Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about remembering Jesus Christ, we think about the Lord's Supper, remembering the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what that means to us as far as our wonderful salvation. But we need to remember the context of this book, that Timothy is being told to remember because this is going to help him get through the specific situation that he's in. So how do these two things help him to do that? Well, the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is something that should be comforting to all believers, not just Timothy in this situation. In fact, we could say that that's the key hope for all believers of all time, wherever they live, because we long to be rescued from this body of death and to be given eternal life and a new heavenly body. And the only way that we know that that can happen is if, when Christ died, that happened to him. And so that's why Paul is telling Timothy here, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, because that's a great hope if you're facing probable death, that this isn't the end, like everybody would want you to think. Live your good life now, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Paul is saying, don't listen to those guys. Remember Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And then the second thing here is descended from David. So there's several things wrapped up in that phrase. One is that this is one of the proofs that Jesus actually was the Messiah. The Messiah had to come from the line of David. And so especially to somebody who was studied in the Jewish faith, this would resonate. It also means that while God, he was also truly man. And so we know that he could suffer the same kinds of things that we would have to suffer, or Timothy might have to suffer. And these are two of the key points that if you talk to unbelievers, they'll typically bring up as objections anyway. Well, you know, Jesus was just another guy, a good teacher. There's nothing really significant about him apart from that. And everybody likes a good guy, so we can just like him for that reason. Or they just deny the fact of the resurrection. Well, you know, there's no proof that that really happened. Somebody just made up a story that's been going on for 2,000 years. So these two things are good for us to know today, because we're going to run into unbelievers who are going to confront us by saying that these things aren't true or didn't happen. And that could lead to us being discouraged, to us not wanting to fight the battles that we need to fight. And so that's the application for us. When he says my gospel at the end of verse 8, he's not referring to something unique to him or something new that he's making up. Some people get hung up on that. Well, Paul's giving a special thing here, my gospel. What Paul's saying is that this is something that was entrusted to him, and now he's entrusting it to Timothy, just like he's previously told Timothy in this chapter in verse 2, to commit it to other faithful men. So it's his gospel in the sense that it was given to him to tell to other people. So in that sense, it's our gospel as well, because it's the story of how we got to be who we are. After all, what do we call ourselves? Christians, right? How do we make sense of that name? Well, it only makes sense if we're talking about Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. Without that, it makes no sense to be called that. And so Paul's laying claim to this because it's something that he was entrusted with. And there's numerous verses, even within 2 Timothy, that talk about this. If we look at chapter 1, verse 11, "For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things." In verse 13, "Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me." We've already talked about chapter 2. If we go down to chapter 3, verse 10, "But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance." And chapter 4, verse 2, "Proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not." So even just within this book, Paul gives us more clues as to what he's saying with this phrase, "my gospel." This is the true gospel that Paul is talking about here, the true gospel that we have in the scriptures, and it's contrasted with false gospels that other people were teaching. We've got the same kinds of things going on today. Oh, you don't really need to do this. We don't have to limit certain roles in the church to certain people. We don't have to limit membership in the church to certain people. We can be all inclusive. God really wants us to be healthy and wealthy. There's all kinds of false gospels. Some are just a couple of steps off the truth and some are a mile away. But they're false gospels nonetheless. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, don't get distracted by people who might be giving you a message they claim is from God that makes life seem easier. If you look at false gospels, you can always tell that they're false because they'll try to give you an easy option, an easier way to do something that you don't want to do. And so they might even be culture specific because different cultures have different things that they don't want to do. And as you go around the world, you'll see how different things fit in with different cultures because those are the things that they particularly have difficulty dealing with. Anyway, Paul is reminding Timothy that he has taught him, but this is also what Timothy himself had studied. We see this in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from those from whom you've learned, and that from childhood you've known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Timothy, just continue with what you've known all along, but the key is from the Holy Scriptures. And if anybody comes with another gospel that isn't rooted in the Word of God, then we definitely know that that isn't something we should pay any attention to. So we've talked about why Timothy should remember. He should remember because remembering Christ and who he is will give him great encouragement to go through these difficult times. Why does Paul remember? Paul also keeps in mind, in verse 9 he says, "For this I suffer." So the gospel that he's just talked about, he's obviously thinking about it because otherwise he wouldn't relate it to his suffering. That's the whole reason why he's suffering. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 12. Just after talking about being appointed to preach that gospel, he says, "And that is why I suffer these things." So the correlation between the two is obvious to Paul. So Paul remembers because he wants to, in verse 10, "endure all things for the elect, so that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So Paul wants to remember because he wants to be able to lead other people to Christ, to know the knowledge of this gospel. Verse 10 phrases it so that the elect may also obtain salvation. This is following the example of Christ. Christ was faithful in preaching the message. Christ was faithful in going to the cross for the very same reason, so that we may obtain salvation. And so Paul is just following the example of what Christ has already done. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. This is talking about what Christ did, quoting from Isaiah. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. So that's what Christ did. Let's look at Romans 5:8. These are verses that we know very well, but it's good to look at them again. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more then, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So Christ's sufferings were for us to obtain salvation. And one more passage here, 2 Corinthians 1:4 through 7. Let's start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction, through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so our comfort overflows through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is experienced in the endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will share in the comfort. So this theme that Paul is mentioning here is a theme that he's mentioned in other books, that he's doing it, Christ did it, and the elect obtain salvation. And then another reason is for the hope of eternal glory. You see that in verse 10. Salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So we're talking about why Paul remembers. He's at the end of his life. What more does he have to look forward to? Well, everything. He has eternity in eternal glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us, For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, which is beyond all comparison. So Paul had this hope. How does remembering then encourage Paul? Well, we've already talked about some of the reasons why Paul remembers, but how does it specifically encourage him? If we go back to verse 9, the main point of this is God's message is not bound. So the encouragement of Paul doing these things, or the reason why he can do these things, is because God's message is not bound. It's a paradox. Paul is bound, but God's message is not bound. And if we look at several verses, like Acts 28:16, we see this paradox. It says, "And when we entered Rome, Paul was permitted to stay by himself with the soldier who had guarded him." And then later on we hear about how the news about Christ spread in verse 30 of 28. "Then he stayed 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with full boldness and without hindrance." So there is a situation where Paul was bound to a physical location, but that didn't stop the gospel from going forward. In fact, it seems like it only fulfilled what Paul had wanted to do in the first place. So God's message is not bound. If we look at Philippians 1:13, actually, verse 12, this is where Paul himself talks about this. "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly." So again, the intent was to bind up Paul so that the message of Christ would be bound up. But that isn't what happens. You can't do that. No human being can do that. So Paul is encouraged because he realizes that no matter what people do to him, and remember, we learned that Paul was probably right now basically in a hole in the ground that he couldn't get out of. And people only put there when, you know, they weren't going to be released except through death. So remembering a previous time when people had tried to stop the gospel and it hadn't worked would be encouraging to Paul in this situation. Again, his hope is an eternal hope. His hope isn't going to end with his physical death, because it's not him, it's Christ who's doing the work. And so when he talks about eternal glory, the things that he's concerned about are the things that are going to extend into eternity. Part of the allure of the world is to get us to focus on and be enamored with the things that are temporal, the things that are now, not the things that are going to have eternal, lasting value. That's why the Bible talks about things being burned up. And a lot of those things are things that people spend a lot of time and money investing into. We can just think of what's happening in the world right now. You know, a missile comes and knocks into a building. Well, people spend a lot of money. Maybe they even missile-proofed it, or whatever they tried to do to maintain that, and in an instant it's all gone. Everything that they worked for is destroyed. And that's what it's like if you're not working towards something that's going to endure for eternity. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard in this life, but that's not where our hope is. Our hope is on eternal things, and that is how Paul is encouraged in this situation. And finally, his physical state isn't indicative of his spiritual state. When we're brought low by our physical condition, whatever that may be, could be illness, could be confinement, there's many things that it could be. Our spiritual state doesn't have to be affected by that. It's hard for it not to be. That's one of the challenges of the Christian life, is not to let circumstances impact you negatively in a spiritual sense. So Paul can be encouraged because he knows that it doesn't matter what happens to him physically. They can take his life, but it's not going to stop the mission. He says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's 1 Peter 1:3-4. Of course, we sung, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And I tend to think that Martin Luther was probably meditating on similar scriptures to this, because some of these words seem to parallel it quickly. It says, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. It says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask, who might that be? Christ Jesus, it's he. He must win the battle. And then that last line, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. And these are the things, the truths, that encourage Paul, encourage Martin Luther, and encourage us today. We're not looking at the present. We're looking at an eternal hope. God's message, the success and failure of it, isn't bound up in us as human beings. We're responsible to speak it, but God is the one who brings the fruit. And our physical state is not indicative of our spiritual state, because we are more than conquerors. In conclusion, it's easy to only remember Jesus Christ if we're facing danger or a surprising situation. In fact, a lot of people say cuss words when they're shocked by something that happened. It's like, oh, that's what's triggering their memory about God at all, ironically. Paul's message to Timothy and us is to remember Jesus Christ, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. We don't do it to escape suffering, but to enter and pass through suffering. This wasn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. This was a way for him to get through the situation that he was in. It was a way for Timothy to get through the situations that he might face. Those who abandoned Paul may have done it to distance themselves from potential danger. Remember Peter denying Christ or knowing Christ. But following Christ requires us to follow his example. He says, take up your cross and follow me. The way of the cross, then, is the way of life. And it produces for us, as we've read, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Facing suffering will not likely produce endurance if we go at it in our own strength. Think about Peter. I'll stand with you, Lord. And right away, Jesus has to tell him, no, you're going to deny me. Our success is based on the work of Christ in us and through us. Paul was bound in chains, constrained in a Roman prison, but God's word was going out unbounded to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. You and I must look beyond whatever constraints or limitations we believe that we have and trust in the power and purpose of the Word to accomplish that for which it is purposed. And so that's the encouragement from this passage. Christ rose from the dead. He was descended from David. We will have eternal life. I think most of you have picked up the prayer sheets. not on the prayer sheet was that the quiz team had traveled out of town, just got a message from Nathaniel saying that they're having a blessed time. He said they were eliminated today. I'm not sure what that means, but other than the obvious. But maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. But he said that, you know, so let's just continue to pray for them and, you know, their trip back. So we